and the right to protect your family, your community, and your loved ones. We believe in the wisdom of our founders, and we believe in freedom and liberty and the right to keep and bear arms.
Former Vice President and 2020 presidential candidate Joe Biden appeared on The View in his first interview since officially announcing he's running for the White House. Biden was asked why he asked former President Barack Obama not to endorse him at this time.
I didn't want it to look like he was putting his thumb on the scale here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this based on who I am, not by the president going out and trying to say this is the guy you should be with.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
Lumber Liquidators Flooring Company has you covered with the hottest styles for any room. Get 15 to 25% off our best-selling floors, like Rose Canyon Pine Waterproof Vinyl and Wide Plank Willow Manor Oak Hardwood. Get started today with special financing, and we can arrange the installation for you. See the flooring experts at your local Lumber Liquidators today. Lumber Liquidators, beautiful floors for less.
The latest report on the U.S. economy comes in better than expected. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details from Washington.
The U.S. economy grew, according to the Commerce Department, by 3.2% in the year's first quarter, which was well above the 2.5% growth economists had predicted. In fact, it was the best start to a year since 2015. President Trump says of the numbers,
they were far higher than even the high expectations.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Reaction still coming in as former Vice President Joe Biden announces he's running for president on Thursday. Former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Bill Richardson believes,
I think Joe Biden would be President Trump's toughest opponent because in states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, blue-collar states, he's going to be very strong.
Richardson also tells Fox News it will be interesting to see how Biden does on the fundraising trail. This is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
Earlier this week, President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump attended the 8th Annual Prescription Drug Abuse and Heroin Summit in Atlanta, Georgia. The president says we're making gains in fighting illegal drugs coming into our country and addiction. Fox News medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel shares some of those gains.
It's a year since it's been called a national public health emergency by the president. You have safer prescribing initiatives that are in place. That's actually led to a huge statistic that he's probably going to point to, which is prescribing of opioids, Melissa, is down 25% over a year period. That's huge because that's the engine in a way that's driving this. 250 million prescriptions of opioids used to be in 2015, now starting to decline. That feeds the problem. He's also probably going to point to the fact that there's a 3.5% decrease in deaths due to opioids. That's huge because it's the number one cause of accidental death in the United States. It's a culture that leads to opioid abuse. It's not just the prescribing. It's
right.
A culture of loneliness, of separation, of a community health problem.
Unemployment.
Unemployment, huge problem. Also, I'd add one more tier. There's a lot of research going on to alternatives for pain relief other than opioids. We have some that we're trying to use more and more and more. You know, other alternatives identify the real medical problem that's causing the pain, but have a pain relief product out there that doesn't cause addiction.
Please remember you can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Well, good afternoon. Getting here a little bit late because of traffic and weather. And guess what? We're about to approach May, and it certainly is not what we would have expected in the way of weather. Don't know where you were today, but the fact that they said there was only a 40% chance of showers, scattered showers, certainly not what we experienced today. We had, I'm really out of breath. We had heavy rains and, there's a lot of noise in the background. But there were heavy rains from time to time. And, of course, that's not going to improve because tonight there's a 90% chance of heavy rain and then scattered showers. So we're certainly getting more than our share of rain, overcast today, 59 degrees. By tomorrow, mostly sunny, and so that'll be nice, 58 degrees tomorrow. That's the day to plan on being outside, if it at least dries up somewhat. And by Saturday night, it should be partly cloudy, low of about 43 degrees, so we're not getting any real warm nights. On Sunday, again, there's a 50% chance of showers. Sunday night, 50% chance of showers and then mostly clear. Low of about 37 degrees, so don't get those plants out yet because it may be cooler and colder in higher altitudes. I know we don't think we have higher altitudes, but actually where I live near Round Valley Reservoir, it's often 5, 6, and even 10 degrees cooler than it is in Newark and cooler than it is in Flemington. By Monday, should be sunny, mostly, actually pretty much all sunny day Monday we can expect, high of about 61 degrees. So I'll be right back with the law program after we put a couple sponsors on and I close the door so we can eliminate the noise.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Well, good afternoon. It's Pat Smith's program, It's the Law. And just wanted to bring you up to date on some of the things that are happening around the state as far as the case law. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about today. There is a news bulletin, interesting case. And I think that the Edison school officials face very long odds. But what they did is the school officials in Edison are threatening to sue the township over its approval of new home construction because they're complaining that that could exacerbate crowding in school facilities. Interesting. I've never heard of a case where a town or township does that. And of course, the ratables, the taxes that people pay, the real estate taxes, depending on the type of housing, really does not pay for the cost of, certainly if they have to construct additional schools. Interesting problem because, of course, in many of the school districts, the number of students are down. You have some very small classes in some places. Well, there's there was a contracts case approved for publication. And in that case, Chirino versus Proud Two Hall, Inc., the defendants appealed from a judgment entered against them. And in this case, the plaintiffs were members of a certified class of truck owner operators. And they contracted with the defendants to deliver sealed containers from the port to customers across the Northeast, and especially against Northeastern United States. And the defendants supplied the plaintiffs with credit cards that plaintiffs could use to purchase diesel fuel for their trucks and gasoline for their personal vehicles. Interesting. So gasoline for their personal vehicles. And what happened in this case then, apparently the defendants entered an agreement with Contracts Resource Solutions, who leased trucks from the plaintiffs and in turn assigned the services it leased from the plaintiffs to the defendants. Now, plaintiff's complaint alleged that the defendants violated the truth in leasing. I'm so used to saying truth in lending. Excuse me. This was truth in leasing regulations in their agreement with CRS and violated the New Jersey wage payment law. In this case, the trial court granted the plaintiff summary judgment on their claim that defendants violated the lease agreement by failing to reimburse plaintiffs for their diesel fuel taxes. And the trial court later ruled that the defendants had violated the truth in leasing by failing to have written lease agreements with the plaintiffs, holding that having an intermediary like CRS undermined the truth in leasing regulations. And what happened, this case went up to the appellate division, and the appellate division in New Jersey affirmed the judgment of the trial court. And they first ruled that the defendants had failed to challenge the trial court's damage calculations at trial. And the appellate division further agreed with the trial court that CRS was not a, quote, owner, end quote, of the trucks under the truth in leasing regulations because CRS did not have exclusive use of the trucks. And on appeal, approved Actually, this was the Supreme Court. So it went up to the Supreme Court, and on appeal, the Supreme Court affirmed for the reasons expressed by the appellate division. So this, excuse me, this was a New Jersey Supreme Court decision. So it went, as cases do, it went from the trial court to the appellate division. And I believe that the appellate division in this case granted certification, and that allowed the case to go up to the Supreme Court. Otherwise, there would have had to have been a dissent in the appellate division. And I don't think that's what happened here. So that was the a case today that was approved for publication. And I think that was... Another thing that might be of interest is the resurgence of cities in taking place across New Jersey, and then from luxurious waterfront redevelopment project in Asbury Park to the state's tallest building in Jersey City. Redevelopment has long, neglected and deteriorating areas is on the rise. So that really certainly should be good news for these municipalities because they will probably be getting good ratables and not offset by the cost of schools. So this is, who would have thought a few years ago there would be that kind of a luxurious waterfront redevelopment project in Asbury Park, or, again, the type of building that has gone on in Jersey City. Jersey City is just so, completely different than what you might have imagined 15 years ago. And for one reason, a lot of people, the cost of living in Manhattan and even Brooklyn is so high that people are moving to Jersey City. It's an easy, commute into Manhattan. Although when you look at some of the prices of the luxurious apartments, it's still rather shocking. But in any event, that is going on and will be, continue to go on. And a lot of places, especially waterfront places, that used to be considered, not that available. Or I shouldn't say not that available, not that attractive, really now is very attractive. So there's a number of recommendations that the New Jersey State Bar Association is considering related to the New Jersey court rules. And this year's proposals came from many of the committees. And so what happens is each one of the committees in the New Jersey State Bar Association will, in fact, make rule recommendations. And the rules in New Jersey are extremely important. They're how the courts operate procedurally. And I had the really good fortune of serving on the New Jersey Supreme Court Family Part Committee for many years. And what happens is the different committees, there's a criminal committee, there's a complementary resolution, dispute resolution committee, there's committees on rule of evidence, minority concerns, municipal court, civil. So there are many, many committees. And the committees will study different issues during the year. It's a two-year cycle, and make recommendations to the Supreme Court for any clarification of rules or expansion of rules. And then there is a time where the public and anyone who wants to has a right to comment on the rule, the proposed rules, and then the Supreme Court decides on any rule changes, elimination of portions of rules, changes of rules. One that I remember from years ago in family practice, in order to take a deposition, you had to get court approval. And so that was one of the issues that was studied by the Family Practice Committee when I was on the committee. And we recommended that be changed. and so that in family part, people can take depositions just like they can do anywhere else. And I think the concern for the people who opposed it, they thought that that would mean that mothers-in-law were going to be deposed, or, you know, paramours were going to be deposed. And frankly, a deposition can be an excellent way to get information. So that was, you know, that was changed. And that was changed as a result of the Family Practice Committee studying the issue. Now, I wouldn't want to be this person, but there was the appellate division upheld a $2.82 million verdict to a worker injured at the Meadowlands racetrack. And that was a verdict awarded to a roofer who was injured at the Meadowlands. And also, but the court also turned back the plaintiff's bid for additional damages above that amount. And I'm sure that this person to get that kind of an award is, you know, I can't imagine anyone would want to be hurt to warrant that type of an award. But in any event, the roofer didn't get more, but didn't get less. Now, there was J&J, Johnson & Johnson's Ethicon, has agreed to pay nearly $10 million to Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson to settle the first lawsuit brought by a state over its transvaginal mesh devices. So this was a state that brought this case. And I don't really know more about it, but certainly that's going to start having an impact on Johnson & Johnson if it hasn't already. There were a couple other, of course, cases. There's a criminal law case, Rose, or actually State versus Rose. It was an appellate division. And in that case, the defendant appealed. And he appealed from a denial of his petition. He filed a petition for post-conviction relief. And he was convicted of murder with the state's case resting on testimony of two offenders, including the shooter of the victim, who claimed he did so on defendant's order, and a drug dealer who elicited statements from the defendant in a recorded conversation. Now, why in the world anyone would ever have conversations about a crime that they committed with a drug dealer or with a cellmate in jail is mind-boggling, really. But in any event, this drug dealer, who obviously was trying to get a favorable consideration probably on a charge or charges against him, he taped and got statements from the defendant. Now, the defendant wrote to the trial court requesting his attorney be removed and another attorney appointed. So this is another thing. And when the trial court informed defendant that he did not have the right to choose his appointed counsel, defendant then asserted his right to represent himself. However, in that case, the trial court failed to respond to defendant's letter requesting to represent himself, and the defendant never renewed his request. So in support of his post-conviction relief petition, defendant claimed that he assumed from the lack of response that his request had been denied. And therefore, defendant argued that he was entitled to a new trial because the trial court deprived him of his right of self-representation, and also because his trial counsel was ineffective. Now, this went to post-conviction relief court, and they denied the defendant's petition, concluding that the defendant chose to move forward represented by counsel. So apparently what he would have had to have done is not only write the judge a letter, but also perhaps on the date of trial, or if it was in the middle of the trial, he really needed to stand up and say that he wanted to represent himself. So what happened on appeal? The court reversed the denial of defendant's petition and actually remanded for a hearing to determine whether the defendant acquiesced to representation. So the appellate division didn't think he had to stand up and say, I want to represent myself. However, the court rejected the state's argument that the defendant's claim was procedurally barred since a post-conviction relief petition could be asserted to challenge a substantial denial of a constitutional right, such as the right of representation. Now, I don't know why the state would say that it was procedurally barred. What the court held is that the defendant had sufficiently asserted his right to represent himself, i.e. in the letter, and the defendant had made his oral and written requests well in advance of trial. So this is the situation. He did make the request. The appellate division found that he made the request, and that his requests were unequivocal. In other words, you couldn't mistake it. He wanted to represent himself if the court did not assign him another attorney, a different attorney. However, the court held that the record was unclear as to whether the defendant clearly intended to relinquish his right of self-representation. So that's kind of a back and forth there. So it's still, if somebody does not want to be represented, they really do need to, you know, not just write one letter and think that the judge has read it, unless there's some kind of a response. Now, the Third Circuit, this is the city of Philadelphia. The Third Circuit found that the city of Philadelphia was within its rights to terminate its contract with a Catholic foster care agency over the agency's refusal to work with same-sex couples. And that's what the Third Circuit, a couple of really conservative people there, but that was the finding, that apparently this foster care agency refused to work with same-sex couples, and so their contract was terminated. So there are many same-sex couples who are fostering children or adopting children, and thank goodness, because we don't have enough good homes to take all the children who need a good home. There was an insurance case, maybe of interest to some people, and we'll talk about that right after we have a brief. We have to talk about our sponsors, so we'll come back after that and continue talking about some of the cases.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Okay, want to hear one about how insurance companies try to get out of pain? This is one. SOSA versus Massachusetts Bay Insurance Company. In this case, the SOSAs appealed from a summary judgment dismissal of his breach of contract action against the defendant. So they there was an action by this homeowner against the insurance company. And what happened is the plaintiff had sought coverage from the defendant for real and personal property damage after a municipal water main broke and flooded plaintiff's home. So the defendants denied coverage after they decided or concluded that the damage resulted from what they characterized as a, quote, surface and groundwater intrusion. And the defendants provided, quote, all risk and, quote, coverage to the house and other structures and, quote, named peril and, quote, coverage for damage to personal property in plaintiff's house. Now, both coverages were subject to a, quote, water damage exclusion, end quote, which excluded coverage for damage caused by water that was, quote, caused by an act of nature or, and this is not part of the quote, was otherwise caused. And the trial court granted summary judgment to the defendant, ruling that the party's language in the policy, in the party's language, that language clearly excluded plaintiff's claim pursuant to the water damage exclusion provision. So on appeal, the appellate division reversed the grant of defendant's motion for summary judgment. The court rejected defendant's contention that the water damage exclusion applied regardless of how the water damage was caused. So that was really the question. It certainly would apply in some cases. How about in this case? So the court ruled that the policy did not exclude all losses resulting from water. Instead, the court noted that the policy specifically identified kinds of water to which the exclusion applied. So it wasn't all water damage, it's just specific. So the court ruled that the water from a municipal water main did not constitute a quote-unquote flood. So what we may think of a flood, you know, or surface water. And the court ruled that those terms required a naturally occurring body of water. So that's what the court said. The court also noted that once breaking through the main, the water that damaged plaintiff's home was no longer below the surface of the ground. So this is apparently a protection. If it was something that happens below the surface of the ground, you're not covered, or she wasn't covered. However, in this case, what happened is the court affirmed that the denial of plaintiff's cross motion for summary judgment, they did affirm that. So, and they found in that case the plaintiff had not proved that his personal property damage claim qualified as a named peril. So remember, in this case, there was, you know, they did not include, at least it's my, from reading the case, they did not include a personal damage. And, or they did include the claim, but the plaintiff did not prove that his personal damage claim qualified as a named peril that could be covered by the policy, and also noted that the plaintiff had not demonstrated the dollar amount of his damages. So that's important. It's if you're seeking damages, you know, how much? What's the dollar amount? So until you're in these situations, most people don't look at it. Obviously, most of us, and I will put myself in the same category, we don't look at our insurance policies. We don't read the fine print. It'd have to be pretty, well, maybe paranoid, maybe having gone through it and realizing that they, obviously, these contracts, these insurance contracts, are not written for the homeowner's benefit. Definitely written for the company, and they spend enormous amount of times, amount of time with their legal representative. So what, you know, what other good things? Well, there was a U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit again ruled that a condominium community with a sex-segregated schedule for its swimming pool is discriminating against women in violation of the Fair Housing Act. I think that I did read this. They were saying, well, we do provide about the same for the women. But frankly, what I was able to see is it was much more than that. So I know we had the... Excuse me.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, hi, back, and let's talk about a disability suit, because this is a very interesting area of the law. And in this case, a Jersey City homeowner filed a lawsuit against the city for denying her request to build a carport in front of her yard instead of installing a handicap parking spot. And so what the court proved, the court ruled, and this is not a published decision, but it's still something that everyone will look at if they're faced with this kind of a situation. And the case is Gifford versus City of Jersey City. It's Jersey City. And then the city, Jersey City, moved to dismiss the plaintiff's complaint. And she asserted discrimination in violation of the statutes. And the federal statutes and the New Jersey statutes. And what happened is the plaintiff had a restricted, painful, and unsafe walking ability. And most of the homes on her residential block had off-street parking in their front yards. And she requested permission to construct a curb cut and a carport. And so what happened here is the town said, Jersey City said no, even though their other residential homes on the block had off-street parking in their front yards. So she felt that when she requested permission to construct a curb cut and a carport in her front yard, there would be no problem. And what happened is Jersey City responded that the redevelopment plan did not allow such curb cuts and offered her handicap on-street parking. And in other words, she'd have her own in the street. It would be her own spot, and it would be designated, obviously, handicap. Well, not so obvious, but that was what would have happened. And so she asserted, however, that a handicap parking spot was not adequate and also requested a reasonable accommodation. And she filed for a use variance to construct her desired carport. And, well, if we have to proceed on this, the town said the town advised her that it would oppose any such variance, so that the defendant argued the plaintiff's claims were not ripe because she had failed to file an application. So this is a bit of an attorney standoff. She had not yet filed suit. So they said she had no standing to do it. She had no right to do it, in other words. And something is not ripe is if you know it's going to happen and it's kind of waiting in the wings, but not... Well, the fact that she did not file an application with the planning board or zoning division was that what would prevent her from putting this carport in? And, you know, they said that a reasonable accommodation, and that's always what they need to look for. Can they, if they can't give it outright, can they give a reasonable compensation to offset her losses? So what else happened in that one? Well, the court found the plaintiff submitted a meaningful application, which defendant effectively denied. The controversy was ripe, meaning it was ready to be tried, and a meaningful application which defendant is effective. And so, as I said, the court found the plaintiff submitted a meaningful application which defendant effectively denied. The controversy was ripe, and the alleged the court also found the plaintiff sufficiently that the defendant did not was not entitled to, you know, cut this off. And the controversy was ripe, and the alleged wrongful act occurred in 2016 when the plaintiff filed the variance application. The court found that the plaintiff had sufficiently demonstrated, that's what I was looking for, demonstrated the plaintiff's requested accommodation. The defendants didn't show that it was unreasonable. So if it had been an unreasonable request, they would have denied it, but it was not unreasonable. Another quick commercial.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, let's talk about fraud and kickbacks. And here is a case. This was, again, Third Circuit, United States versus Greenspan. And what happened here is over a period of 7 years, the defendant Greenspan referred more than 100,000 blood tests to a specific lab. As a result, the lab made millions of dollars from the tests. And in exchange for this, there was a quo pro quo. And I'm sure that when we see this, it happens more often than we think. But the quo pro quo in this case was that the lab gave the plaintiff and his associates more than $200,000 in cash, gifts, and other benefits. So they figured this 20% was a cost of business. Now, the defendant in this case, Greenspan, was convicted of fraud and taking bribes and kickbacks. Defendant raised four claims on appeal. He first argued that his advice of counsel defense, and I'm not even sure, argued that on his advice of counsel, the trial court should not have implied defendant bore any burden of proof that the trial court should have let defendant testify about what his attorney called him, what his attorney told him. And also, the trial court should have let defendant testify about what his lawyer told him, and that the trial court should not have limited his defense to five particular agreements entered into between the defendant and the lab. The defendant next argued that based on medical necessity, the trial court should have let him introduce the expert witnesses. Defendant's third argument on appeal was that in its closing argument, the prosecution should not have constructively amended the indictment by suggesting that the jury could convict based on acts different from those listed in the two separate counts of the court. And that is what, you know, their decision was, and that was the basis for it. So the as far as the defendant's medical necessity argument, and again, that this is, you know, procedural evidence. What the defendant also argued, as I said, is on medical necessity, the trial court should have let him introduce an expert witness and cross-examine the prosecutor's witnesses. And so he had, you know, members of, he wanted people to testify, and the court did not allow that. But very, very interesting case. Another case this week in family law. But this is, again, it's not precedent. But the defendant in this case appealed the denial of his out-of-case I'm hesitating because it wasn't written right. His out-of-time motion for reconsideration. So what he did is he appeared to, what he appeared to do is, any event, it was out-of-time motion for reconsideration argued by the plaintiff and failed to pay him. And that was the issue. Failed to pay him. And then, so he said that the plaintiff failed to pay him money that was due to him under the party's final judgment of divorce. So this is post-judgment, former husband, former wife. Former husband is appealing from the ruling. Well, so the final judgment of divorce ordered the plaintiff to pay the defendant $31,000, but he argued that he was entitled to $44,700 as $44,700. That's what the plaintiff contended was owed. And the so the, as I said, that was the final judgment. Divorce ordered the plaintiff to pay $30,000. Okay, I think we're about ready to end the show, and I think that's good because it's not sure that I could go on much longer. Sorry about that, folks. We'll play the news, and play a spot, play the news, and come back with hopefully a re-energized sports program.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Commerce Department is reporting first quarter GDP rose 3.2%. President Trump is calling that an incredible number.
Our economy is doing great, number one in the world. We're number one economy right now in the world, and it's not even close.
18 months in jail, that's the sentence for Maria Butina, a Russian woman who pled guilty to being an unregistered foreign agent for Russia. However, a federal judge did grant her time served, granting her credit for 9 months for her imprisonment. Attorney Robert Driscoll says they accept the judge's decision.
I wish we could have done more to get her out sooner. I do not believe an additional 9 months in jail serves any purpose in terms of punishment or contrition at this point. She's already spent 9 months in jail.
Following her serving her sentence, she will be deported back to Russia. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-